Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, it's our final hour, and I know you guys have heard us talking, and now that it's starting to be discussed even more nationally as well. The S2 cognition test, something that is been taking. You're hearing a lot about it with quarterbacks or NFL players. And joining us right now is a former athlete himself and one of the co-creators of S2 Cognition, and that would be Brandon Alley, who I had the pleasure of speaking with for about 45 minutes the other day, and I thought this conversation needed to come to the forefront because we here in Houston are looking for quarterbacks. The Houston Texans are looking for quarterbacks, and we also are a big baseball city now. And I think Brandon specifically can speak to two different concepts that I think you're really going to love. Brandon, first of all, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking time. And, you know, the big discussion has been that people are that's starting to leak out is that S2, you guys have been doing this for 7 years, I guess, in the NFL. Why don't you tell people what the S2 cognition test is, what it looks like, how it was developed, and how it's important for NFL quarterbacks?
Yeah, sure. So thanks for having me on. I think what's important to know about S2 is that, you know, I know there's a lot of discussion about, athlete smarts and athlete IQ and do you have to be smart to play and those kinds of questions. And that's not what the S2 measures. You know, that's something we want to clarify right up front. We don't measure how smart an athlete is, their IQ, how well they can sort of learn the playbook or learn the concepts. We're going to go ahead and assume that the scouting department and everybody has done their homework on that to understand what they're getting into with the learning style or learning ability of the player. What we try to measure is those skills that they use on the field. So once the ball is snapped and you have to execute in less than a half a second, those are the types of quote-unquote decisions that these athletes are making. And you know, we use that term loosely, decisions, because it's not like, hey, where are we going to go have lunch? It's quite literally filtering through everything they see to decide what route they're going to run, where they're going to throw, who's their assignment. All of those split-second decisions. And the other thing I think is important to know is that, you know, these tasks that we use to characterize these athletes have been in the literature, have been in the scientific literature for decades. You know, Scott and I didn't invent these tasks. What we did is we know that these tasks are well-characterized and do a great job at quantifying an athlete's overall brain wiring or their system. And what we do is we try to help front office and coaches understand how that pattern of scores will manifest on the field of play. So, we have our battery of tests. I think that people have been throwing out an overall number. The overall number is great, but it's relatively meaningless. You have to actually look at the pattern of scores, what they're good at, what they struggle at, to know how to specifically utilize a player. There are very specific patterns of result that would suggest a defensive back should be a man-on-man guy versus a coverage or zone guy. What kinds of reads you can overlay on your quarterback. You mentioned baseball, those kinds of things. What is this player's What's his chase rates going to look like? What's his strike zone discipline going to look like? Is he going to be able to visually process 100 miles an hour? Those types of questions, so you kind of get a better understanding of the way your player is wired and ultimately the way they're going to play on the field.
Brandon Alley joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If I remember correctly, it was Mike Kafka from Northwestern. I saw a story on him where they did this kind of read-reaction thing on the computer, and that he did that, and it helped him on the field. Do you find that guys can get better reading and reacting the more they take your test or the more that you work with them with this cognition test?
Yeah, great question. So our test measures the overall system, the global system. If you want to get better at that particular sort of cognitive skill, it's got to be done on the field, in the context. So can you improve a quarterback's ability to layer on that complex if-then statement? So if the DB covers the curl, I'm going to throw to the flat. If he covers the flat, I'm going to throw to the curl. That's a very simplistic articulation of the kinds of complex reads these quarterbacks have to do. But to be able to improve that, it's got to be done on the field in the game context as close to game speed as possible. So you can improve these skills, but it's not going to be done by taking our evaluation 100 times or doing an iPad app or a vision board or something like that. It's really hard to what we call transfer onto the field. So you may be able to improve the global system at a very small level, like using cognitive training apps like the old Lumosity and things like that, you would just get better at that particular test, and it wouldn't really transfer to your performance on the field. What? If you want to get better on the field, you got to practice there.
Give people an example of, so, you know, everyone's talking about the top four quarterbacks, five if you want to go Hendon Hooker, and I'm not asking for specifics of any of these quarterbacks. However, what will go into it? When you're working with an NFL team, can you give us an idea of what some of what you're going to measure? What is the information that when they take the test that you can give to an NFL team about a certain player and what their score represents?
Yeah. So we, like I mentioned earlier, we measure 9 different cognitive processes, 3 in the visual domain, 3 in what we call the read-react domain, and 3 in what we call the execution domain, which is really motor control. So I would say picking one from each of those categories that would be critically important. We measure in the visual domain how a quarterback might be able to broaden his attention and see the whole field versus having a little bit of tunnel vision. So not only does that tell you something about your quarterback's ability to see the whole field, but you can also begin to understand how you might set up a playbook, right? Is it the end of the world if he can only see half of the field and not the full field? Probably not, but you have to know that going in, and you're going to have to design a playbook that suits that quarterback's needs. One in the read-react domain, we just talked about it a little bit earlier, decision complexity. This is your quarterback's ability to filter through those if-then rules. So if the safety pulls down and the corner goes man, here's the route my guy's going to run. Being able to filter through those quickly is really important. And again, that's not just knowing the rules. We probably know several quarterbacks that can regurgitate the rules, tell you exactly what's supposed to happen. But when they get on the field and the ball snapped, they show some hesitation, or they'll throw to the wrong route. And one of the last ones that we do in the motor execution control is what we call impulse control, and that's your ability to be able to sort of inhibit that really impulsive desire to throw. You might do it on a partial read. It looks good right off the snap, and then you didn't see the DB coming, jump in the route. So that ability to really just be patient, let things develop, and not be really impulsive. So those are 3 key skills that we really look at quarterbacks.
Can you give us examples of impulse control? Well, why don't you give John, why don't you tell our listeners from a baseball standpoint? So we famously had Craig Biggio, who's a Hall of Famer, just couldn't, for his career, couldn't lay off of a slider away. Just couldn't lay off of a slider away from a right-hander. And our conversation was really interesting about what percentage of that is seeing the ball, what percentage is impulse control. Can you talk about that relative to baseball? Because I think that's also an interesting conversation.
Yeah, sure. So the impulse control task is the number one predictor of chase rates in pro baseball. And initially, we all see the product of the decision, which is swinging at the slider in the dirt. But we don't know why that athlete is swinging at the slider in the dirt. And so in our evaluation of thousands of pro baseball players, it turns out it's about 50-50. 50% of those hitters actually can't visually process the details of the pitch to tell them it's a slider in the dirt. The other 50% can process that visual information just fine. They just can't inhibit that need to swing. It looks so good. They even know it's a slider. They're probably saying in their head, why am I swinging at this? And then you swing at the pitch out of the zone. Even though it predicts impulse control, again, I don't know that's like, there's nothing in the S2 evaluation that would signify a kiss of death, right? You're going to put up with a Biggio that can swing at pitches out of the zone. Think about Vladimir Guerrero. If they're going to put up 100 RBIs and 40 dingers, right? So it's all about tolerance. It's all about knowing that athlete. But yeah, that impulse control task is important in all sports, whether it's jumping off sides, holding penalties, chase rates, things like that. It can be highly predictive of those types of mental mistakes on the field.
So is your test actual players and reacting, or is it cubes? Is it balls? Is it circles?
Everyone's probably thinking there's a virtual reality of a football game going on, and that's not what it
is.
That's not
what it is. Exactly. What is it?
It's not. Yeah, that's a great question. So again, these are tasks directly from the cognitive science literature that we know tap into a specific cognitive process. And again, this is where nothing in this world is going to be a one-to-one analog. You can't say if you do this on the S2, this is what's going to happen on the field. We measure the global system. So we're just talking about impulse control system. We all have this level of impulsivity. Think about sitting at a green light or a red light, and you're in the lane to your left is the turn lane, and that green light goes on for them to turn, and you immediately hit the gas. You're like, oh God, my light is still red, and then you got to pump on the brakes. That's your impulse control system. And so we can test somebody's impulse control system by doing just a straight computer task that would be done in a laboratory. It is precise, though. It is within milliseconds of responses. So we can capture, as an example on impulse control, the difference between an elite running back and just a starting running back is about 14/1000th of a second in the way that they respond to some of these tasks. And so we make assumptions about how it's going to impact your sports play based on the measurement of that global overall system.
What I think is important, though, is that you are, you're a neuroscientist, and you can give your title yourself. I don't want to downplay, but you and your co-creator, you were both athletes. You both have an understanding of the athlete. Clearly, when you talk football, you have a good understanding of the terminology and what's going on. So you're not just a couple of neuroscientists who are trying to apply that to a sport that you don't know about. You guys come from the athletic world.
Yeah, so, yep, no, I am a dork, no doubt about it. But I did play college athletics at the Division I level, played sports all growing up. Scott Wiley, my co-founder, same thing, played baseball in college. But I also think what's important is that we don't try to be those guys. We don't try to be extremely knowledgeable. We are informed by those extremely knowledgeable players. So we didn't take all these tasks and say, hey, this is what happens in football. Now, the way that the football battery actually developed is we've been working with LSU football since about 2013. And those first couple of years, it was literally digging in with those guys to understand, hey, what does a defensive back have to do? What are the cognitive demands of defensive backs? So we sat there with Corey Raymond. We sat there with Dave Aranda. We sat there with Jack Marucci and Tommy Moffitt and those guys and really worked through it and really tested and retested and until we ultimately landed on the battery that it is today. Same thing in baseball. Our director of baseball operations, Paul Phillips, was a 15-year pro with 9 years in the major leagues as a catcher. We worked with him when he was the Marlins hitting coach and just really, really worked and dug down and deep. And then for each of those in pro sports, we not only did that, we went through a 3-year statistical vetting process with high-level analytics people in baseball, high-level analytics people in academics, and really just made sure, hey, are we measuring what we're saying we're measuring? Are we truly linking things to the field? And we're open. We are not dogmatic about, hey, everything we do works. We're constantly growing and evaluating and evolving based on what the data are telling us, based on what front offices and coaches are telling us. So it's a fun process to be in as an athlete. As an ex-athlete and a scientist, just digging in with people on both sides of that fence. We try to engage high-level academics who study these things for a living, and we try to engage in high-level coaches in front office who also do this for a living.
It is impossible that I'm the only one who listens to Brandon talk, and I feel like I'm having a conversation with Bobby Axelrod from Billions. I can't be the only one who thinks you sound like Damian Lewis, the actor Bobby Axelrod from Billions or for Homeland. I can't. It's like every time I hear, I'm like, Bobby's pitching me on something great.
Does.
Yeah. No, I think this is, and I know you've done, just to answer, we got to let you go, but you guys have looked and studied the effects of ADHD, ADD, when you're on medicine, when you're not on medicine, the effects of marijuana. You've done studies on that as well. The baseball chase rate thing is really interesting to me, but the quarterback processing, there's a great article. Actually, Washington Post has one. I know you're going to be doing a podcast on the football podcast on The Athletic with Robert Mays, which should be good. And then The Athletic wrote a great article about it last month in February. So this is you're going to hear a lot more about this because this has been, by the way, has anyone with a low score ever, I know the names that have been mentioned, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, those are three names that are, and Brock Purdy mentioned a lot as having really high scores. Have you ever seen a guy with a low score? You have had guys who have had high scores who are not good quarterbacks, obviously. But have you ever had somebody with a low score become a top-level quarterback in the time that you guys have been doing this?
I would say that is extremely difficult. It's just, you know, as you know, to be a professional athlete, you have to have every piece of the package. You've got to have the physical, you've got to have the technical and mechanical, you've got to have the tactical where you have this game experience. You've got to be psychologically sound, respond to failure well. You know, your anxiety, depression, all of those sorts of things really have to gel, as well as this cognitive piece has to be on board to be the best of the best. Can you have low physical skills? Can you have poor arm accuracy and low foot speed and still be a great elite quarterback? I don't know. I think that's up for debate. Same thing with the cognition. I will also say, I just want to be clear on this context, that we have seen on social media and a lot of articles written and things like this about the certain quarterback scores. I would say take those with a grain of salt. We see so-and-so reportedly scored low. This person scored the best quarterback score of this year's class. I would take those things with a grain of salt.
That is Brandon Alley right here on ESPN 97.5 at S2 Cognition at Brandon Alley, ALLY3, at Brandon Alley 3. Brandon, great stuff. We really appreciate it. And yes, he
Thank
does
you
sound
so
like.
Much. Appreciate it being on, guys.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
He
Thanks,
does
Brandon.
Sound like Homeland. Homeland.
Bobby Axelrod. Yeah. Damian Lewis.
Yep.
He sounds a lot. I couldn't get over. I'm like, this is so cool that I'm talking to Bobby Axelrod about sports. And so I just did my entire phone conversation the other day on Saturday, just like I was talking to Bobby Axelrod. On the other end, when I'm picturing the guy I'm talking to, red hair. Is Bobby? I'm talking to Bobby Axelrod from Billions. You got to watch that, John. Yep. At some point, you'll run out of steam for it, like I did. But the first 2 years are definitely first two seasons, maybe three, are definitely worth watching.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you'll like it.
You know who else I like is the Morley Law Firm. They've helped me, and they'll help you. So make the call, Morley Law. They have. And listen, I'm having an issue with an insurance company right now that I might have to call the Morley Law Firm, and they might have to make a call to that insurance company and take care of this business, because the insurance companies are out there just working you as hard as they possibly can and not giving you what you deserve in a lot of instances. And if you have an issue with an insurance company and they're not coming through, well, maybe you've called the Morley Law Firm. If you're having an issue with a doctor, you had some kind of any kind of an issue where the doctor didn't perform the way you thought, call the Morley Law Firm. Did you get into an accident and they're not paying up? Did someone wrong you in some way? Did someone short you on something they should have given? Did you have a contract that they broke? Well, the Morley Law Firm is here for you. The Morley Law Firm is here for any issue that you might have civilly or criminally right now. And if you're looking for that lawyer that is going to hear you out, give you a free consultation, and in a lot of instances, you don't pay them unless you collect, the Morley Law Firm is here for you. They have so much experience and so many things that they're going to be able to handle whatever issue it is that you have. Make the call, Morley Law, 713-839-9955 or MorleyLaw.com.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
97.5.
Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Does he test the impulse control of alcoholics?
Well, the answer is yes.
The answer is yes.
They had a huge program, a test that they were working with. One of the colleges they were working with wanted to test guys. It tested positive for marijuana three times in a row or more and had to go into their program. And then they tested them then, and then they tested them when they had three negatives in a row. And their scores, imagine this, guys who weren't on weed tested way higher with cognitive processing. Idea that you just smoke and play at your highest level, it's unfounded. It's not possible. Your mind slows down. You don't process as quickly. That should be true. Anyone who smoked will know that.
Did I need this test to figure
out? Yeah, no, I mean, but there seems to be players seem to think that it's fine to smoke. It's not a big deal. Well, that's fine, but I mean, your level of clarity, your decision making, your processing, all that stuff slows down, and it's not nearly as good. He told me the scores have gone up 60 points in some instances with those college athletes. So. That's a pretty big deal, obviously. But they actually do. They don't just do sports. I mean, he's doing sports, but it's been used for other things as well. I'm telling you right now, they do high school kids, younger kids. This is going to be what I'm working on, is creating digital footprint for athletes starting at about age 12, where we can predict how big a frame they're going to have. We need to get to like age 15 or 16 before we can do that. But we've already got an algorithm that's predictive. The cognition, I'm talking to these guys because I want to add them. There's computer vision and limb tracking. I'm trying to bring it all together, because then you've got literally everything that you need for what sports is going to be, which is a processing footprint, a physical footprint, an athletic footprint, and then also the limb tracking gives you physiological. So, sorry I'm such a numbers guy, guys. Y'all thought I was just talking drafts and oily hips and all that stuff. You didn't know that, I'm a numbers guy, so deal with it. Or I know people who are numbers people, and I and I talk to them on the phone. And so through osmosis, their knowledge is my knowledge.
Mm.
So deal with it. Deal with it.
Their knowledge is your knowledge, and you just dabbed on everybody.
Yep, I did. I'm glad you told people that I dabbed, because it's true. I did dab.
You just dabbed on everybody.
Yep.
Yeah, congratulations. Michael wants to talk about the NFL draft. Let's get him in here. What do you say, Michael?
What's up, man? Hey, you have got me thinking about, you mentioned the ADHD medicine. You know, like Adderall is illegal methamphetamine. You know that, right?
Right.
Yeah, so it's a controlled substance. You're going to be...
No. Yeah, so, but, here's what he said. Here's what he said about that. Well, so there are colleges who are writing scripts for athletes for Adderall.
Wow.
No,
No, this any legal advantage, right?
Oh no, the dirty little secret is that it's all over college athletics, like all over college athletics. But here's what he told me: actually, when you are on your Adderall medicine, if it's ADHD and you truly have hyperactivity and not just ADD, then what it does is your focus becomes better, but you're not quite as quick. Like you almost become hyper focused, so you're not quite your ability to process it quickly. Changes, like your reaction time changes slightly in the negative. And he said they've worked with teams to find, for players who actually do have ADHD, finding the right medicine balance to have proper performance too on game days. So that's actually something they look into.
All right. Well, Interesting. Yeah, I mean, any edge you can get, I guess. But Lance and John, so I was, let's say the Texans get Bryce Young. I mean, what's the likelihood of this? I mean, because the team overall is still kind of trash. What's the likelihood of them still only winning like four games? And they have a high pick, and you know, there's two guys coming out next year, right? Caleb and then Drake May. You know,
at least two. There's always going to be
at
more.
At least two. So, what's that next year's high draft pick worth? You know, because I predict if they are trash again, they're trading out next year and, you know, and get more picks. I mean, I know that's like a year in the future, and you don't know what's going to happen. But man, I just, even with a quarterback, I mean, I just don't really, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to win more than four games. What do you think?
Well, see, I just think they are. I don't go in assuming. I think having Jalen Petrie there a second year, Damian Pierce, Nico Collins, these are guys who are still getting better. So I know, John, you had your drive for five, and they were terrible, and they still got to, I mean, they got, I don't even want to say reasonably close. They get three wins or four. What was their total?
Yeah, three.
Yeah, three wins. So that's not that close. But three and a half wins, kind of. They kind of got a half win against the Colts.
Yeah.
So, but I just don't assume. Like, I would assume that they win five games this year. I think that's a minimum assumption of five games. The Vegas over-under is right around there. You are going to be hard pressed to be worse than the Colts. I mean, than the Cardinals. Arizona has a terrible roster. There's a good chance they're going to trade out and trade back and pick up future draft picks and not even get one of the best three or four players in the draft this year. Arizona, on paper, looks like they're easily the worst team in football. So the assumption that you'll just, well, what if we're just bad next year? What if some of those fourth quarter games turn into wins under D'Amico and you win seven games? You're drafting like ninth, tenth. And the teams who are bad are probably drafting quarterback. They're not going to trade you their picks for Drake May or Caleb Williams. Not in theory.
There's a good chance. I think they'll win more. I think they'll be better than – I thought that last year, though, too.
I know.
But I think D'Amico makes you a better organization. I think that the players will play better. I think that they're going to do – listen, Stingley needs to step up. Kenyon Green needs to step up. Damian needs to have another year. You know, you just signed Laramie to a long-term deal. He'll be here. They're going to be – I hate to say they're going to be a better football team because I got slapped with that. Why I think that is just beyond me. But it's the way I have to think, that they're going to be better, that they're not going to suck again, which is against all odds.
Mm-hmm. I think it's true this year, though. They're going to have a different quarterback more than likely, I think. But if it's Richardson or Levis, then forget it. You're not. You're going to have either Case or Davis Mills. I still think Case was brought in because they do plan on drafting a quarterback. My big concern now is that it's not Bryce Young. That's my biggest concern.
Yep.
Son of a CJ Stroud just – it's not a Mulgetta thing. Something with Stroud just bothers me.
For me, it's a Mulgetta thing.
Well, then you don't have to worry
about
it.
Maybe they take him and just say, you know what? Oh,
but
well.
But you don't have to worry about Mulgetta for a few years.
What? A couple, 3 years?
And you might be dead by then. You don't know.
I know I might be. I don't. Yeah.
So but if
I
you want... die, are you going to worry about Mulgetta? No, you're dead.
My kids are here, and I want them to have a
better
good
world.
Houston sports experience. I mean, yeah. I want to leave this world better than I found it.
Yeah, but you don't have any say-so in who the Texans draft.
But I could yell at them for being stupid.
Why is my son Mason calling me right now? He knows I'm in the middle of the show. Something terrible better have happened. He's probably calling about something he saw with, hey, did you see the Rockets are looking at Nick Nurse? Hold on. Let's find out. Mm-hmm. Hey, Mason, what's going on?
There's a bunch of people at the house.
Yeah, they're doing some work on the patio.
And is that Chris in the car outside?
What are you doing at the house?
I'm sick.
Okay, bye. Sick. I'm sick.
What is he home for? Do we have to call?
There's a bunch of people outside.
Well,
why is Napoleon Dynamite calling me?
Where's your wife to answer these questions?
I took my daughter to her little school thing she goes to. She's driving a bus. She's driving a bus, remember?
Oh, you heard that bus driver. She's a bus driver.
I forgot about that.
9:33. Time to talk about
my son Mason.
That's no
just,
jab at Nicole, no, is it?
Why are there people here? I don't know, Napoleon. Just feed Tina and don't worry about it.
All right. That's no jab at him.
Listen, it is. But sitejab.com builds websites, and they do more than build websites. They build your individual digital platform that is going to show people who you are, what you are, the work you can do, and tell them how to get a hold of you or how to sign up for your business. That's kind of a big deal. I mean, it's a really big deal, as a matter of fact, being able to show what it is that you do in the very best light, make sure that you have a website that is designed to be sticky according to the analytics that are provided to them with how people are searching websites and how long they're staying on websites. So they understand how to keep people on your site longer, how to get them the information they need quicker, and then how to allow them to interact with that information so that they can become customers. They can turn those eyes into business leads. And they do so much more than just website development. Make sure that you go to the website, sitejab.com, and look at the work that they do. And then ask to set up a consultation, and they'll work with you very reasonably priced, and they do amazing work. SITEJAB.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. Anything we missed here today? We did talk a little bit. We only had a rather long soundbite from Rafael Stone.
I think we should play more of Rafael.
Here. What did he think about this year's rookies, and how did they develop? Because, well, hey, how about this stat? The only rookie in NBA history score 1,000 points, 500 rebounds, and what was the other one? And 50 blocks.
Jabari.
And 100 threes.
Jabari.
Hit 100 threes, scored 500. Had 500 rebounds, scored over 1,000 points. The only rookie in NBA history.
Now what are the haters going to say? Blocks. Oh, really? You mean your best friend Paolo Banchero didn't do it?
Mm-hmm. No.
Interesting.
No. So is Paolo better? No.
No.
Is that a bit of data dredging? Maybe just a little.
Little. That's what Daryl would call data dredging.
Yep. But here's Rafael Stone on how he thought the rookies developed this year.
Yeah, just that they all really improved. They're an eclectic group of guys. They're good guys. They're fun. I really enjoy Jabari's year. It's visceral sitting down to dinner with him before the season started and thinking to myself, man, is he not ready for this? And but in a good way, you know, like not in a like it's going to kill him, but just, you know, he thinks because he grew up in the NBA and he thought he was ready a little bit. And I'm thinking in my head, yeah, no. And then he went through it. And then watching the second half of the year, him really come on. And to me, the impressive thing with him is just owning it the whole way. Like, it was never like, you need to do this more for me. This guy needs to do that. It was always like, I need to do better. And because of that, he did do better, right? And he's just so different. And Tari's like there's nothing in common with Jabari as a person. Tari just came in like, I'm going to fight, right? Like, I'm going to fight every possession, you know, and he did, you know, and he's got his own challenges, but you could, you know, that fight that we saw at LSU that really we wanted, that translated immediately. And as he learns how to channel it, I'm really excited to see where he goes. And yeah, and I thought I thought we did him a disservice. We probably should have let him just hang in the G League for a little bit so he could really get comfortable. And he finally did. And he really led that team and they did really, really well. They had a great playoff run and he was hugely responsible for that.
Okay. So now there's a positive. They had a good playoff run.
Yep.
You know?
I don't mind that.
Yeah.
I don't mind the G League. I want it to be on this league, but also G League. I want to know what they're looking for in a head coach. Rafael Stone was asked, And I actually haven't heard this clip. So I'm really curious to hear, because here's what I don't think he's going to say, because he might think it reflects poorly on him or plays to the narrative, frankly, of issues in the locker room. There's clearly not enough accountability on the court. There's not. And
unless
I think
you're Alperen Şengün.
Yeah, for some reason he was held accountable, but that's fine. I want him and everyone else to be. But I don't think he's going to mention accountability or respect. Like, what I would say, if you're given an honest answer, and so I don't know if he's going to give an honest answer or if he recognizes this. The honest answer was, well, we got to get guys who the players – the honest answer is we got to get players – a coach who the players respect, that will be willing to confront them and have confrontation and get them to play his brand of basketball. We got to get more buy-in on the defensive side. These are all things that should be said.
I'm going to bet that he says defensive end. I haven't heard this either. But I know this, that the organization wants a lot more defense
defense will be mentioned.
Yes, it will.
Okay,
absolutely.
Let's go.
I think we want somebody who has a real vision for how to implement our young guys, how to incorporate some veterans, which we're for sure going to be adding to the mix over this summer, but also over the next few years. And I think we're looking for somebody who has kind of a dynamic presence and vision, and you know, they'll obviously have a new voice, and we want that voice to be one that we think is going to really resonate with our group.
No defense. Resonate with the group is respect.
Listen yeah. to me.
I think that's what that was. He did not mention defense.
No, he did not mention all defense. Right. I can tell you this. The organization wants to mention defense. The organization wants a coach that is going to be
good.
I don't want to say defensive minded, but is going to
demand
hold,
better defense.
Hold players accountable for their defense. Yes. Yes. That is going to happen.
Barry says, it's funny that Lance says he's a numbers guy, but that Bitcoin is too difficult to understand. I'll just buy or sell Bitcoin. I don't have to. My numbers are in sports. I'm a numbers guy. Watch this. Ooh, what about what about VOP? What about FIP? What about expected FIP? Huh? Yeah. So I thought, how about that Bitcoin guy? Do you ever do anything with expected FIP, XFIP, or WOBA, or XWOBA? Have you ever heard of XWOBA? No, you haven't. So slow down on your...
What's the formula for XWOBA?
You take total plate appearances. It's total plate appearances. What time is it? 44?
Too late.
Yeah, God, dog, we ran out of time. But XWOBA is about the expectancy of your WOBA. So your WOBA formula, there's a difference in terms of how you calculate the expected WOBA,
right?
Which is a projection of your. You take the WOBA, but then you project future WOBAs. So it's like you thought Bitcoin was tough.
Yeah,
yeah. XWOBA is even tougher. Unless you have a calculator or a pen and paper. You're not going to do it in your head.
Right.
For sure.
You got a pen and paper right there. Why don't you figure it up?
But
time.
9:45. News of the Weird is sponsored by Simple Seats. So we got a sponsor.
Yeah.
Trust me, I would love to get into some XWOBA right now. But. Oh, no longer sponsored by Simple Seats. Well, we still have to.
But Simple Seats is still part of our lives.
No.
But we do have to talk about HRP right now. Yeah. That's important.
I would do it, but we have a spot we have to run.
Right. Yep. Right. We got HRP. It's an awfully important spot because you have a business right now. You're the CEO, you're the CFO, you're a decision maker in your business. You are not happy with how you're doing payroll. You are not happy doing payroll yourself. You are looking for a payroll partner. You are looking for a replacement for the payroll company that you have now. What admin company are you using? Administration, okay? And I hear all these administration businesses that they take care of everything. Well, you know why they take? Ooh, look how cheaply we can get your payroll. But then they're over here gouging you on your 401k, gouging you on your insurance plan, gouging you on your benefits packages. Okay, that's how they're making a lot of money. You notice these admin places, hey, have a lot of money. You know why? is because they're taking yours. Look, if you're looking for a new payroll company that's going to take care of payroll and HR, and then you have your choice of pay of benefits packages, then you want to be with HR&P, all right? Look at the way you're doing things and call HR&P and get a free consultation for your business. It's all at HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. One of them owes me $20, but I'll let you guess which one.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on The Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, welcome back. News of the Weird. Time for you, Lance. Remember that something freaky is happening with cop stations now? Remember the woman who was a Nashville cop? She was...
She kind of actually said, no, that's not the way it went down or whatever, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was getting freaky, though, with a little bit. Well, a Texas 911 dispatcher has been suspended after her husband caught her sexting 7 different cops. Do you feel
is this not the same? This is a different story?
This is in Texas, not Nashville. This is in Texas. Christy Perez, a Texas police dispatcher in San Antonio. Apparently, people just like to get their freak on.
Wow.
Man, maybe those guys in the uniforms are, I don't know what they're, for whatever reason, they're really getting their freak on lately in the cop station.
Wow.
Yeah.
What in the world?
Are you going to go to any festivals this year?
Yeah.
Apparently, festival goers are planning to use more drugs to save costs on food and drinks.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
Do you feel like you should do more drugs?
Well,
when
then you
go
may
to a
not
festival?
Be as hungry.
Yeah,
yeah,
and you don't have to buy as much beer.
Right. No, that's one way of looking at it. Like, hey, let's just knock this out now.
Uh huh.
Want to still keep some water around if you can.
You should hydrate.
You still need to hydrate.
You're probably going to be out in the sun if it's a festival.
Make sure while you're doing your drugs that you
hydrate.
Another way you could do it? Now, this is kind of off the beaten path. Eat so much that you get so full you just want to lay down and not do anything and lay on your bed and stream shows. Then it doesn't cost you anything.
Right.
Or like, I was going to go, oh, I'm so full.
But the food costs you money. And
Netflix costs you too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. New study out says cow urine is not fit for human consumption.
I knew it. I was waiting for that report to come out. Yeah. And that's this entire time I've been thinking, I'm willing to bet good money that cow urine is not something we should be consuming. Yeah. I knew it. I knew this was going to be the case. I wish this would have come out sooner.
Yeah.
But I knew this would be the case.
This is something I think that was necessary in India.
Oh, okay. So not
India.
For us. Okay.
No, it's really not so much for us as it is in India they needed to do.
Well, we drink other stuff out of a cow.
Yeah.
My feeling
has
was
14 different things that we shouldn't be drinking.
Yep. Yep. And some of them are probably preservatives and whatnot.
Here's a new study, Lance. 1 in 5 adults don't want children and don't regret it later on.
That's in your opinion. That's in your opinion. That's not a fact.
No, it's a study. You're one of the 4 out of 5, not
yeah.
1 out of 5.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Because you want children.
No, I do.
And you don't regret
having them.
I do.
I don't have any regrets.
Right.
I regret them not being better behaved sometimes.
Right, right. Right, exactly.
And I don't just little Timmy, everything's going to be okay. It gets loud in my house, and it doesn't seem to... Yeah. So, yep, that's an interesting study.
That is.
So 80% or 20% feel that? So only 1 out of 5.
20% feel like they don't want children and they don't regret it.
Yeah, it seems low.
Dell is one of 5 of us.
That number still... RJ, do you want a bunch of kids?
Not like a bunch, but like
okay.
2, yeah.
So you do want kids. Hold up.
Not a bunch.
Wait
though.
A minute. We didn't go through this. I noticed the other day, you got something going on, right, Chum?
You got a ring
on?
Can
you keep it at 0 or keep it 100? What are we? What's going on here?
I'm keeping it 100.
Okay, what?
I'll let you guys know.
Okay, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
So not on air. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's your prerogative. Okay. So Lance, we're about done here. Let me see if
we go to the Woba thing now, or I don't have a lot of time.
Yeah. No. So we're done. We don't have time.
Woba and no.
Yeah. Do ex Woba and FIP and ex FIP. Yeah. You wanted to explain that. I forgot.
Yep. I wanted to get.
Well,
into
we ran out of time for that. Yeah.
Yeah. And Bitcoin stuff.
Yeah, right.
2 days in a row, we've had Bitcoin stuff.
We did have Bitcoin. And if we could, if anybody wants to chime in on Bitcoin tomorrow, you're more than welcome. We'll be back tomorrow after a full day of getting ready for this show.
Does somebody need to catch these, to catch those bats from the Astros today? Does somebody need to catch these bats?
No, they're going to catch them tonight.
Somebody's going to catch some bats
tonight.
They're going
to catch some bats tonight. We'll talk about it tomorrow right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Y'all have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, buddy.
She's that, like, she's the queen, and we're the sorry people.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.